Second and goal now. Lawrence fires into the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Christian Kirk. So Hasty is the running back. They're going for two. And Lawrence reaches over and scores.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers pregame show, presented by Aurelio's Pizza on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's your local Ford Dealers pregame show presented by Aurelio's Pizza. We're heading out to London where we find J.P. Shadracki of Jags.com. He's doing the game for Westwood One tomorrow with Pat, your guy, Peanut Tillman.
Awesome.
JP, you got to always be careful because if he doesn't like you, he'll give you one of those peanut punches. That's not where it comes from. Don't worry. And JP joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas hotline. Circa Resort and Casino, the world's greatest sports book. Good morning, JP. How are you, buddy?
Good afternoon from London. Yes, all things are well here. I'm standing here actually right on Oxford Street, and there's a massive crowd of people walking up and down a good shopping district here just on the north end of Mayfair. It's a nice day, partly cloudy and rain off and on, but that's London for you, and the temperatures are in the low 60s, and we should have a good day for football again tomorrow. It's week two of three now in the UK for the National Football League. Last week, Vikings-Jets, and now Bears-Jaguars tomorrow, and then Jaguars-Patriots next week.
JP, why the slow start for this Jacksonville Jaguars team with all that talent you guys got, or they have?
Well, how long do we have for this conversation?
Well, that's what I figured. You could just fill up the whole segment with that question.
There's a few questions, right? I mean, so the offensive line has been a little inconsistent. They've actually had the starting five out there on the O-line the whole year so far, which they didn't have really at all last season. So they've had some issues there. But last week they played well. They didn't get Trevor Lawrence hit at all in the game last week in the win against the Colts, which is pretty good. The defense was pretty decent early in terms of points allowed. Last week in the fourth quarter, the secondary was awful. I mean, Alec Pierce went for a couple long touchdowns. They were up 14 with five to play and lost the lead, and that's unacceptable. Even with all the injuries they've had, starting linebackers out right now, Foyer Lucan, they've had some injuries on that side of the ball. So really, it's like the offense has not quite been exactly what they thought in terms of scoring, and a lot of that's quarterback, a little inconsistency there. Run game has been hit or miss. I mean, just to have it, it's been kind of like fits and starts for this team. It's one thing one week, it's another team the next, and then it's just a problem. I mean, one problem one week, one problem the next, and then then that's kind of where they are right now. They're 1-4. They are what the record says they are, and they've lost a few close games. They were blown out against the Bills on a Monday night, and that's kind of what they are right now. It's one week, a new problem pops up.
Doug Peterson, we know his whole backstory, winning a Super Bowl coach. It's a difficult thing to do. There aren't many of those guys around, and yet it seemed like when he first got there, things were going great. And now all of a sudden, whenever you read these lists of coaches on the hot seat, he's atop it. And, you know, Robert Saleh gets fired earlier this week after a game in London, and sure enough, around the league, there were a lot of coaches being asked the question, you know, given the lack of job security in the league as a general rule, how do you handle the reality of a coach already fired in season? I wonder if he belongs on those lists, or is his relationship with the owner good enough that he doesn't? What is your take when you think of Doug Peterson?
Well, I mean, it's an interesting take because I had conversation with both men today, of all things, right? I mean, I had Doug Peterson this morning, a little run on the pregame show for Jaguars Radio on Sunday. We always do that a couple days before, but today is the day before. And then I came down to Central London and sat with Shad Khan, Jaguars owner, for later in the pregame. I think Mr. Khan is a patient guy. I mean, let's be honest, right? He let Gus Bradley around here for 4 years, and you know, they didn't have the roster at first. They had broken it down, but he let him try and try and try. And if there's a process that he believes in, he's an engineer by trade. If you can prove that there's you know, a step in the right direction and following your process and things are moving the right way, then he'll believe in that. And that's what he at least has done so far. So I don't think it's as hot as a lot of people might think outside, honestly, for Doug Peterson right now. Now, if they get blown out 3 or 4 weeks in a row, that's a different story altogether. I mean, that Monday night game in Buffalo was bad, and that's just what it was. They come back last week. They won the game. All right, they've lost a few close ones. I don't think it's an immediate, you know, they're not going to – I would be surprised, really surprised, if anything is done midseason, even if they lose some games in a row here. Because, I mean, in theory, as Doug Peterson would say, they're still in it. I mean, if they win two games here in London, no matter what happens with Houston, okay, they're 3-4, and you're kind of back in the conversation again, at least. And maybe you find your sea legs as a team. So Mr. Khan's going to let that play out. The only time he didn't, well, a couple times he didn't, 1 year was with Mike Mularkey, his first year as the owner. He fired him after 1 year. And then, of course, the Urban Meyer year, which he fired him in 13 games. But that was, okay, that had to happen. So, I mean, this is not one of those times, right? I mean, I think he's going to be patient a little more than the outside might think.
All right, let's talk about the defense. I know they've been struggling in the passing game, and Ryan Nielsen's the new defensive coordinator. They come over for the Falcons. I think one of the big things I always worry is, how are they going to attack Caleb Williams, a rookie quarterback? What do you expect from the Jags defense, and how will they defend this offense with Caleb Williams at the helm?
It's a good question. I he's a guy that can actually move some. I think he's run five times in four of the five games. So, like, he does use his legs some. I mean, obviously, the arm is why you draft him as high as they did in Chicago. I mean, he can throw it around the yard. He's got veteran receivers to do that. This is a pass rush that has been missed more than hit this year, right? I mean, last week, Trayvon Walker had three sacks. He had another multi-sack game early in the year, so added up, and he's been fine. But he's been missing in action a couple times, too. So he's got to figure it out. He's the number one overall pick a couple years ago. So you need more out of him on a consistent basis. And Josh Hines-Allen is a guy that, you know, is always kind of around the action, has not been able in the recent past to finish that action and get home to the quarterback. He's been disruptive. He's been close, you know, but you need a little bit more. The interior of the D-line hasn't been great. So you got to keep him contained because, as you guys know, he'll get out and run if he needs to, and that can be a problem for a secondary that plays a lot of man coverage, running down the field, chasing guys around. And especially those veteran receivers who know how to run routes. They've had some issues on the back end with injuries, as we talked about. So that's the plan, I think, for Caleb. Just kind of keep him in the pocket, get some – they're not a huge blitz team, but they probably need to crank it up a little bit, especially if they can't get home with four. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe dial it up a little bit more this week. And now in the last week or two, he's been good against that blitz, Caleb has. So,
yes, yeah.
That's been a, you know, it wasn't great early in the season, but for whatever reason, the last week or two, he's really figured that out.
So help us out a little bit. Tank Bigsby is a guy that I guess he earned the nickname Tank when he was a toddler. You just walk around the house and bump into stuff, and his mother called him Tank. It's not because he runs over everyone, but he's got some speed. He's a good player. Travis Etienne, his situation. Where are you at with the running game here? And the Bears have struggled a little bit against it.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Doug told me this today. I mean, it is a two-headed running back room. That's what they want it to be. That's what they need it to be. You know, Travis Etienne's been dealing with a little bit of a shoulder issue. He's cleared for the game. He's going to play. And it shouldn't really hold up any reps because of that. However, Tank's been running the ball well the last couple weeks and broke through the line last week and stiff-armed the safety and then turned on the Jets for a long touchdown, which was really his best run in the NFL, his best game in the NFL overall. And he's holding on to the football. Last year, he fumbled a lot early and lost some confidence from the coaching staff and didn't get a lot of touches in his rookie season. And Tank has really come on and played better football and held on to it and been consistent. And you're right. He's not a hammer. You know, he's not that guy you're really going to put in there in a short yardage and bang it up the middle type of guy. You know, it's just his name, his nickname. But that's just really not how he plays. But they'll both get time. And they'll probably both get pretty equal time, I would think, this week, especially with Travis coming off a little shoulder ding. Travis has gotten the bulk of the reps, like 65%, I'd say. But Tank's getting more and more, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him get almost equal share this week moving ahead.
JP, let's talk about injuries. Can't get his name right. Evan Engram, is he coming back? I think he hadn't played since week one, and then I saw Gabe Davis, the wide receiver, on the injury report as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both going to play is my guess. Just hearing Doug Peterson today talk about it. I wasn't up there for it. I was down here in central London, but hearing him talk to the media, it sounds really confident that Evan's going to go. I mean, he played week one and then got hurt in pregame warmups after the inactives were in week two. So that's not ideal. And he had a hamstring injury. And so he should be back, I think, for this game. And then Gabe Davis has been a little inconsistent, too. Big free agent signing this offseason from Buffalo. There was the widely noted first half sideline incident with Trevor Lawrence last week. They got kind of crossed up. I mean, Gabe Davis was open. He didn't throw it to him. They had a little argument on the sideline or whatever. But I think that's just two guys trying to get after it. And, of course, they ended up winning the game. So I wouldn't see anything beyond that. I think Gabe would go is my guess. That's the feel I have just going into it. Mm-hmm. So, in theory, they should have a full arsenal of playmakers for the first time in a little while on the offensive side of the ball. Now, Brenton Strange's playing pretty well at tight end at Evan's place, but Evan's a guy who nearly set the league record for tight end catches last year. He's a different level of receiving tight end, and they could really use that right now on offense.
So we talked a little about Shad Khan. Obviously, a U of I guy, went to the University of Illinois down the road here from Chicago, and I'm just curious, when you think about, you know, his business in London and the number of games that the Jags have played in London, how much easier is this trip for them, having won a couple games there a year ago? I mean, they played so many games there, and even with the with Hurricane Milton and having to leave a little bit later than maybe you wanted to, how prepared are they for this game versus the Bears being on the road? I mean, I laughed out loud. I guess Mercedes Lewis spent so much time in Jacksonville, he's already played in London like four or five times.
Right.
So
yeah,
so no he's doubt. The one who has an idea, but no one else.
Yeah, it's fascinating. This could be a long conversation too, because the Jags, this is their 11th year playing in London, right? I mean, so they're 6-5 in London games. Nobody played here in 2020. They came back in 21, and they played two games here last year for the first time ever. A team played back-to-back weeks here. The Jags won both of those games. So they've done it a number of different ways. In the early days, they stayed all week. You know, guys got in trouble, going out, arrests, things going on. They stopped.
Told you, Mully.
Let's just go Thursday night and get there Friday morning and cut all that out. And then, okay, that's fine. So they've done it a number of different ways. Now, it's show up Friday morning, play the first game, stay all week out in the countryside. It's a place called The Grove. It's a beautiful golf resort. World Golf Championship was there in 2006. Queen Victoria used to hang out there. That's how nice this place is. Like, it's really nice. So you get out of town, they get a couple of days to go see sites, and then it's a work trip. So they treated it like that last year. For Mr. Khan, he's an international businessman, and this is something the city of Jacksonville had not really seen or dealt with truly before he showed up as the owner of the Jaguars. He has a different mindset, a different level, a different scope of how he goes about his business. And I think that's helped the Jaguars franchise increase its the eyeballs on it. And that's what he wants. And the team's been able to adapt and play a little better football and adjust the way they go about their business, too. It's a funny story, though. Like, I talked to Mr. Khan today, and we'll hear it on the pregame show on Sunday on Jaguars radio, at least. You know, he first, he's obviously big in Chicago and Illinois area.
Yeah.
The McCaskey family actually introduced him to the previous Jaguars owner, Wayne Weaver. So they introduced Weaver and Khan. Khan ended up later buying the team from Weaver, but it was the McCaskey family who actually introduced them together. So this Bears-Jaguars matchup is close to Shad Khan's heart. And in London, a place where he does a lot of business and helps the city of Jacksonville and London come together, it's kind of a perfect storm for Shad Khan this week.
JP, what's the fandom like there? You know, you said you've been going there for 11 years now, but we know Bears fans travel. What's the feel around the street for the week of how it's going to, you know, kind of play out in the stadium?
Yeah, it's interesting because this is a game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, so it's truly a Bears home game, and it's an NFL production. So the league runs this game, and they ran last week's game, the Jets and the Vikings. So it'll be Bears heavy. There'll be a lot of Bears people here. I'm walking around, there's Bear people, you know, all that stuff. That's just how it works. And then next week, the Jaguars' home game is at Wembley. So the Jaguars actually run that game. They hire the security. They run the concessions. They run the ticketing. Like, they have a deal directly with Wembley. That's why there's one game at Wembley every year now. It's the Jaguars' home game. So yeah. The Jaguars make that deal directly. So next week will be Jaguars heavy. They'll be Bears heavy this week. There'll be Bears logos in the field. That's just how it works. But it's a great showplace for the league, man. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is beautiful. It's a little tough to get up there in North London. But once you're up there, I think Bears fans are going to have a great time at the game tomorrow for sure. It's a beautiful place.
Real quick, have Londoners adopted Jacksonville, like the Jaguars, you know, when they're just coming over there as much as they have?
A little bit of that. I mean, yeah, it's grown. I'll say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
At first, I mean, yeah, you know, when you're a bad football team, who's going to want – I mean, it's tough, right? They've been bad for a long time. Let's be honest. Like, they've had two number one picks. So, all right, if you're a good football team, you're going to have a lot more fans. It's just how it works. So there's a mix of that. But there's full-time, 365-day-a-year people that live here now that work for the Jaguars that do sponsorship sales, community events, television programming on Sky Sports NFL. I mean, there's all that stuff that goes on year-round. So the Jags have invested to have a presence here throughout the calendar year, and they've seen the growth. I mean, they've seen the response and the way people come out to that game at Wembley every year and follow the team on a week-to-week basis throughout the season. So it's there. Is it as big as like a traditional franchise like the Cowboys or the Bears or anything? No. I mean, it's tough to get that in the States, right? I mean, let's be honest. But it is growing. They're getting their piece of the pie here.
What blows my mind, having been to London a lot and been to some games overseas, is how it's like an event where you go to a game and it's not just the team that's playing. Like anybody, whatever jersey somebody gifted them in the 1980s through 90s, and it's like you see, like, you know, 30 teams represented when you go to a game. Yeah. It blows my mind.
I see that every time we come here, right? Yeah. It's what it is. You'll see somebody with a Jets hat and a Patriots jersey. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not how this works. But, you know, it's funny because the Bears were involved in the first ever NFL game here in London in 86, right? Yeah, the American Bowl. You guys remember that. So a lot of the older folks, older than 20 years old people, tell the story of that game that lived here and went to that game, and Refrigerator Perry scored a touchdown. And, you know, they had just come off the Super Bowl, and here's Tom Landry with the Cowboys on the other side. Like, that was the first taste in person of NFL football, and that stuck in a lot of people's minds here. So that game is referenced a lot for some of the older generation of NFL fans here in the UK.
Great stuff, JP. Really appreciate your time. Looking forward to the call tomorrow. Looking forward to hearing Peanut Tillman, too. Local guy made good.
Tell Peanut I said hello, please. Yeah, you're going
to
have a blast with him.
We're about to have a coffee with him right now, in fact. We're about to sit down and hash out our pregame and our broadcast. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to visit the tailor. You're on Oxford Street. You're going to go fitted for a suit.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have enough fabric for my big ass here in this town. So we're working on it. They need some more wool in this town.
Thanks again, JP.
Thanks,
Take
JP.
Care, mate. God bless. That is JP Shadrick with Westwood One with Jags.com. I mean, fascinating. Really interesting to talk to him, getting a weather report as he's walking through Oxford Street. Pretty cool, Pat.
Yeah, very, very cool. And it's cool for Peanut to get the opportunity to call a game as well. I want to go back and see if I can listen to some of that.
I know a great story involving the America's game, the first ever game there, which I will tell you very quickly. So the old PR guy with the Bears, we'll talk about him later. He was quite a character. There was one of these British reporters hanging around, like desperately trying to get some kind of story. And he asked him, hey, is there anything behind the scenes going on? You know, this guy. And so he tells them, yeah, there's a bet between Refrigerator Perry and Ed Too Tall Jones that whoever wins the game, the other guy has to kiss his feet at midfield after the game.
What?
So the whatever paper it was, the Sun, the Mirror, whatever it was, the next day there's like this splash headline, you know, Fridge too tall, kiss my feet. And they still have a copy of the paper.
That's outstanding.
Come on. How awesome is that?
That's great.
My God. All right. We'll get to the quarterback. We got to talk about the quarterback. We'll talk about Caleb Williams next. It is the pregame show, your local Ford dealers pregame show presented by Aurelio's Pizza.
Panthers must cross midfield, get to the Bears 49 for a first down. Dalton wrapped up. Down he goes. Back at the 34. Dexter and Walker. Take down Dalton, and the Panthers will punt it away.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers pregame show, presented by Aurelio's Pizza on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the pregame show, and it is time for the Who's Hot, Who's Cold, and that's sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911 for Who's Hot. How about Jervon Dexter? We just heard him there. He's got 4 sacks on the season. The guy reinvented his body before coming into the season, and it's paying off for him now that he is a starter and an important part of the interior of that defense. And Who's Cold? I don't want to be mean about it, but I would say maybe we could say that Tevin Jenkins is cold, because he's not starting these games, Pat, because he started the last 2 games. Unfortunately, had to leave with a rib injury 2 weeks ago, had to leave with an ankle injury last week. Here's hoping that he can finish a game as well as start it, but I'd say the last couple of weeks we haven't seen that happen, and so that's a guy looking for a contract extension. There was talk about them getting together over the bye week. Well, I don't know where you're at with that one, but unfortunately we'll call him cold.
Yeah, Mully, that just real quick about him, it's concerning because it's been his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, he's been up and down. New regime didn't like him, and then he's just injured all the time. And if I'm an O-line coach, you want the same 5 guys out there every week. And we talked to J.P. Shattuck about that. They had their guys. They've been playing all every game together. And that's a guy right now I just don't know if I can trust him. You know what I mean? Is he going to last a series? Is he going to last 3 quarters? What's he going to do? I don't know. So it's unfortunate he keeps getting injured because he is a big body that can move some people when he's healthy and if and when he's playing consistent. But right now he's not.
All right, we've got to get to Caleb Williams. And obviously you look at where he's at, Pat. He's coming off a 300-yard passing performance, 304 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Packers in Week 5. And believe it or not, this is a team that's even worse than the Panthers. The Bears are in the midst of 5 consecutive games against teams with the 6 worst passing defenses in the league, and this is the worst one. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 32nd ranked in passing defense. They are allowing 287.8 yards per game in their season thus far.
And they have 0, I'm going to put a jinx on it. Sorry, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to knock on wood.
Yeah.
They have 0 interceptions this year.
Okay.
They do not have a single interception this year, so let's hope Caleb doesn't do that and throw it to him.
I'm taking off the headphones. I'm leaving the room, okay? What? How do you bring that up?
Because I don't believe in that stuff. It's like when they jinx the kicker. When a kicker misses the kick and I jinxed him. No, you didn't. He just missed it. But it's not going to happen.
Do you say things like, hey, there's a no-hitter going whenever the guy's throwing a no-hitter?
Oh, let me give you a funny story real quick about that. I know we're talking about football, but I went to my one and only Cubs game this year, and that Cubs game where they had the no-hitter,
yeah.
My wife and I were about to leave, and I texted Zach Zaidman, and I'm like, hey, man, not going to be able to see you. We're taking off. And he goes, Manly, we're in the middle of a no-hitter. And I was like, oh, we are. Oh, my God. I didn't even put 2 and 2 together. because they were dominating so much, and we were just having a beer and talking, and I was like, oh, let's get on. We can get out of here early. And I'm like, oh, that was kind of dumb. But, yeah, I almost left a no-hitter. How about that? And then stayed and got to watch it.
That's one of my favorite lines. Someone said, oh, did you see the game yesterday? I'd be like, no, I went to it.
Yeah.
So, of course, I didn't see it. Yeah. We were betting on whether the ball would land on the mound.
Exactly,
and we
exactly,
were
exactly.
It's so true. You just end up with 15 different things when you're actually at the game. Okay, so
back
here we are, back to football, back to the Bears, back to Caleb Williams. Do you see growth from him, Pat? And, it's extraordinary to me that we're seeing, like, it's almost like the guy is walking upstairs. We're seeing his passer rating jump. That's not supposed to be how you get better in the NFL. It's supposed to be incremental. It's supposed to be like, how do you heal from an injury? Well, you're better 1 week, and then all of a sudden 2 weeks later, you're at a different level. It's not supposed to be what we're seeing from him, which is like, wow, he really is improving. Now he's throwing more touchdowns. Now he's doing better things. And I'm sure there's a stinker out there somewhere for him, but it looks a lot like kind of continuous growth.
Big time. And, you know, a lot has to do with who he's going against. But again, he's a rookie doing it against NFL talent. I was thinking about that this morning, kind of rewatching a little bit of the Carolina game. And he looked like he was at USC going against, you know, a bad college team. And he was dominating, right? He dominated that game. I thought he looked very impressive. And then we talked earlier in the year, and I think it was the first game, post-game, I said he looked jittery. You know, he just looked like he was just kind of shaky and everything was just – he wasn't in the right speed with the game. And I think the greatest example right now is that touchdown he had to DJ Moore where he looked the safety off. And he knew he had it, right? And he was just so calm, cool, and collected. He's like, all right, I'm going to keep my eyes over here. 1001, let's go to the left, and I move the safety, and let's score. To me, that was just the biggest example of progress. And then you hear him communicating at the line of scrimmage. Seems like he's checking into the right plays. Obviously, Shane Waldron, I think, has changed the offense a little bit for him to make him more comfortable. And then what I'm sure we're going to talk about it, the thing about being bossy or whatever, that he's taking control of this offense. That's what I'm hearing from that little cut from DJ Moore. And then the other guys talking about Cole Kmet, I think, had an interview with Stacey Dales this morning I saw, and he was just praising Caleb of how he's taking control of this offense. And he's, I don't know if the word surprised, but he's happy of how well Caleb is digesting this offense and getting it and being able to kind of be the leader of this offense now, only five games in.
We talked to Mike Florio earlier in the week, Mr. Pro Football Talk, and he was talking about Caleb, and he said, and I don't know that I agree with this, but I'm interested in your take. He said that Jaden Daniels playing as well as he has taken pressure off of Caleb Williams, in his opinion, because it's not like he's got to keep performing to get the Rookie of the Year. It's almost like that award's been put to bed, and it's not, he's able to kind of grow in what he's doing, and he's not the guy that's compared to C.J. Stroud or whomever it might be. Ryan Poles was asked about his comparison to Jaden Daniels, and he said that. And believe it or not, it's like a party line, because Flusie said almost the same thing when they were comparing him to C.J. Stroud. He said something along the lines of, every journey is different. Everyone's journey is different, which is a way of saying, well, he can't compare to that guy.
Right.
And it's not fair to compare him. I don't know that it's good that someone else is playing, and I'm using air quotes, better than him.
Yeah.
And I think it takes you a few years to figure out who a quarterback is and how they, you know, are going to succeed or what's going to happen in their career. And I like what I've seen, the progress I've seen from Caleb. But it, you know, I mean, you got to admit that Jaden Daniels has been extraordinary. He's
no doubt, right? But like, let's do this. Let's take Jaden Daniels out of the equation. Say he's not even there. I think the NFL narrative would be like, wow, this rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams is doing a very nice job of growing into the NFL. you know, C.J. Stroud set the bar so high.
Yes.
And it is great, I think, for us as fans and the NFL to have these young guys come in and play as well as they are. But if you took Jaden Daniels out and you just sat here and looked at Caleb Williams and evaluated his first 5 weeks, you'd be like, wow, that's a heck of an improvement from a young guy walking in from week one to week five. I think you'd be praising him of how he's played. He's got the team at 3-2, potentially 4-2 going to the bye. So there's different ways to look at it and evaluate it, and it's fun to do that. But I'm just excited that Jaden Daniels is playing at a high level, just for me selfishly as an NFL consumer. But then I think anybody at any position, no matter if you're a left tackle, a long snapper, a corner, you're always trying to compete against the best. You always want to try to be better than them. So great. I'm happy that Jaden Daniels is playing well, because I guarantee you Caleb is like, hey, I'm going to get there. I'm going to surpass this guy. I'm going to be as good as play as well as he's playing. And we'll evaluate it after, 17 weeks. And hopefully they are both in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, because there's still a lot of football to go.
And the interesting thing when you talk about Jaden Daniels, and maybe it's just because he's in Washington, but I think, you go back and you think about Washington with RG3 and how good he was as a rookie and how damaged he became as a result of that rookie season, and how his career, he didn't hold up. And weirdly, he was a draft mate of Kirk Cousins. And look at Kirk Cousins. He's still playing, and he's still playing at a high level. And RG3 has been retired forever. It's just a weird – you just don't know what is going to unfold in someone's career. And I wish no ill upon anybody. But for a guy that is a kind of a running quarterback in part, he's been compared. He's half C.J. Stroud, maybe. He's half Lamar Jackson. And then you talk about Lamar, two-time MVP. Mm-hmm. Does what they do work come playoff time? Lamar can't win in the playoff. I don't know what the answer is, Pat, but I think the answer is wait and see, which no one wants to do.
No doubt. And the other thing is, to me, going back to the RG3 stuff, is that the game has changed, right? The quarterback position is much more protected. So you can see Lamar Jackson early in his career run as much as he did and not take the hits, just because the game's played differently through the eyes of the defender. They don't go after and headhunt like they did back when RG3 first came out. But I don't know about you, and I haven't listened to you much in the morning, but I'm happy with the progress that I'm seeing with Caleb, and I'm very, very encouraged. And I think a lot of that is because us being Chicago fans, we've seen the two prior, and we haven't seen it get to this point this quickly, and that's what's getting me excited. And and just to hear him now talk with his teammates, and go back to the bossy thing real quick, that I didn't realize that Caleb was in the room when DJ said that.
Yes.
So I had kind of heard it differently, but then when I heard he was in the room, to me, that's a veteran kind of needling a young guy.
Yes.
And I like that. When I heard that, the dynamic, what was going on, I'm like, oh, that's two teammates just playing with each other. And that's building a relationship. And I like that a lot. And that changed everything. I'm like, wait, what's DJ doing again? He's in the room. Oh, he's needling his buddy. So I found that comment as encouraging, that they're fostering a relationship pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think bossy, there's a negative connotation, right? With bossy, he's telling me what to do. Mr. Know-it-all. But I agree with what you're saying. And they asked Caleb about it, and he said, oh, like sassy. Is that it? But it was funny. I think that what he's saying is assertive, right? That might be another way of thinking of the word. I think he was, as you say, kind of messing with a teammate. But I think what he's saying is the guy is taking more ownership of the offense and kind of, hey, we got to get this right and that right. And it goes back to the play in the game where you heard the, call it the fire, that, there's going to be a blitz. And he yells that to the quarterback, who says, I know. And he's already dealt with, he's going to throw the ball to Roma Dunze and beat that blitz. It's good stuff. It's good exchange 100%. Among teammates. Yes.
And I think it's encouraging. Like, just listen to Cole talk. Yeah, we listened to the Cole talk, that it's very encouraging that they've got his back now. Like they're like, all right, now we can get to that level we want to get to with the talent we have if that quarterback is operating at a high level.
All right, we're going to take one final timeout, and then we're going to come back, and we'll find out who Pat picks for the game, what the score will be. He knows these things, and we'll discuss that next. You're listening to the pregame show. It is presented by your local Ford dealers and of course, the fine folks at Aurelio's on the score.
We're back with more of your local Ford dealers pregame show, presented by Aurelio's Pizza on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. It's your local Ford dealers pregame show presented by Aurelio's Pizza. Hey, do yourself a favor, and we want to thank all the fine folks at Aurelio's Pizza, but if you want to get yourself a nice pregame meal, you could order it tonight and then just heat it up in the morning before the game at 8:30. There's nothing like cold pizza. There's nothing like warming up Aurelio's. They will help you kick things off with a delicious pregame meal. Aurelio's has been your family pizzeria since 1959. Order your game day meal now. You can have it delivered tonight straight to the door, and then you get up in the morning and it's waiting for you. Aurelio's Pizza, celebrating 65 years of memories in every bite. It's the sauce. All right, Patrick, you are on the hook, my friend. How do you see the game unfolding? Tell us what will occur tomorrow in London.
All right. This one's interesting because they have talent. Like, we saw the Bears do what they needed to do last week against the Carolina Panthers, who were just not good and then got hurt throughout the game. So they handled it really well. But when you look at the Jacksonville roster, you're like, all right, Trevor Lawrence, like I said earlier in the show, he can be hot or cold. If he gets hot, you've got trouble. You got Brian Thomas. You got Evan Ingram coming back, the tight end, who's kind of his safety valve. The two running backs and Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne, who are very, very good. And their O-line is pretty darn good in the run game, but pass blocking, they're okay-ish. So they scare me a little bit just because they do have playmakers over there. And then talking about the Bears' offense and their tackles, Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines-Allen are very good defensive ends. They haven't had the production, but they're always, like your J.P. Shattuck talked about, they're always there, right? So I'm a little nervous on, like, the bull rush against Braxton Jones. But then you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're 31st against the pass. So it's an interesting game. And there's a reason why they're 1-4. Like, I've talked about the talent, which scares me whenever you put on the tape and, you know, read their depth chart and all that kind of stuff. But they're doing bad team things. Bad penalties at wrong times. We've seen enough of this with Bears, right? Bad penalties at wrong times, missed overthrows, missed open guys, drop balls, and stuff like that. But I just think the Bears right now are going in the right direction. I feel very confident about them. So I'm going to do it. If you guys win, I was kind of close to the 24-17 score. Didn't you guys pick 24-17?
Yeah, yeah.
I had 24-13, but just because we're a good team and Olin's not here and I want to bring everybody together, I'm going to go 24-17, so we're all on the same page.
Oh, that is awesome. Well played.
But I do. I just have a lot of confidence in this team right now and just the way that Caleb's playing, and I think they'll come up with a plan to take care of the edges on the offensive line.
All right. Great stuff, Patrick. A lot of fun this morning. Appreciate having the chance to talk to you about this. Want to tell everyone you can tune in tomorrow after the game. The game's at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Tune in later. We'll be on. Want to wish a congratulations, good luck to everyone running the marathon. God bless you. Be aware that the marathon's on and check your traffic before you go anywhere tomorrow morning, and that's okay. Stay home. Watch the game. Wait for us. And Robbie Triano, thank you, buddy. Great job. Our producer, Robbie, did a marvelous job getting us up and running and talking baseball this morning on Inside the Pregame Show for the Bears. What? Thanks to everyone.
We did talk baseball, though. We brought up baseball, so we covered that, yes.
Yes, and we talked about going to a game and not watching.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think what more can we say? All right, everybody, have a great Saturday. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow, roughly 11:30 a.m. Yep. We'll be here with the post-game show. Thanks again for listening to The Score.